Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com. Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
Ah, love talking to Tim Ryan. He joins us courtesy of the UMA guest line. You loving West Virginia?
Yeah, I'm just real tired of that song now by John Denver.
Rocky Mountain.
I've heard that thing 100 times.
No, that's Colorado.
Take me home.
Oh, yeah, West Virginia.
To the place.
Bro.
I belong. West Virginia. Mount Mama. Take me home. Back to Cali. No,
you got
baby.
A great voice, T-Rock.
Dude, you can do some country.
You can sing. Yeah. Are they playing that before every practice? All week at the Greenbrier?
They play it all day long around here. It doesn't matter where you are. You can hear it somewhere. Someone is pumping it.
In the hotel, they're pumping it in there. Wow.
Oh, my goodness. It's been fun, though, man. Really, it's been a good week of practice. It's an unbelievable setup. I'm sure you've heard Kyle talk about the wallpaper and the carpet in this hotel. It's probably hasn't been remodeled since President Eisenhower was here, and they're probably never going to do it because they seem to like it. But it's massive. It's the food's been great. The performance center, all the football stuff, where it's just a short shuttle ride away. You could walk over there if you wanted to, but set up good. They know what they're getting. They've been here before. There's nothing else to do but football. So it's been great. And I know the players have enjoyed it. It feels almost like an extension of training camp, which really isn't a bad thing, especially when you're running out a couple of new players out there on the field this week.
Yeah, we like Ike and we like the Greenbrier, apparently. So as far as because they're there so much, and, you can't be consumed football. We'll get into practice and everything. But there are nice golf courses there. You certainly stay
very
there.
Nice
golf courses, bowling alleys, I hear, when you got there, you get a chance to go bowling a little bit. So as far as recreation, what are they doing just to get together as a team away from football?
Yeah, it's been a little bit difficult only because of the pandemic, and I'm not sure what the vaccine stats are here in the great state of West Virginia, but I don't think they're up there near the California number. It's such a predicament that guys are in, because if one guy gets it and now he's got close contacts, and so they've been real careful trying to limit exposure to people outside the team. So they've been the first night, I think Monday night or Sunday night when we got here, the bowling alley was rented out just for the players and for 49er staff. I think a little bit of time in the casino, but not much. So there really isn't, you know, golf has been fun. The coaches haven't been able to play much. You know, they're working so damn much. I think a few of them may be out there today. I played on Monday with Robbie Gold and Tuesday with Robbie and Big Mike McGlinchey and the GM of Greenbrier, which was great. Phenomenal golf courses, though. It just, they're so old and the layout is so good. And, you know, the greens, the slope and all the stuff. We had a good caddy with us. So we had a good time doing that and might get out and swing them a little bit today. But other than that, man, it's been all ball and a lot of protein.
Well, I wonder how McGlinchey hits him, because tall guys, it's tough. It's tough to replicate.
McGlinchey, didn't
that
you hear
swing.
A broadcast, Johnny?
Be careful, Tim. Don't get yourself.
Kansas City
trouble.
Game. The guy hits drives 400 yards, and since that night, he's actually learned how to hit his lob wedge, which is pretty good. He's got a good game, man. He can absolutely bang it. Nice. I mean, he rips it, bro. He literally can hit a drive 400 yards.
No, is that right? Wow.
He literally can hit one 400, and he'll probably average when he's in the fairway. When he's hitting it in the fairway now, it's he's a wrecking crew. He gets after it. So I bet you he averages 340 off the tee. I mean, he can hit it like the pros hit it. And little Robbie Gold, and I'm going to steal a line from Dr. Tim McAdams, says his sequencing is just so great. Robbie hits it about 330, man. He can absolutely bust it, and he's a really good player. So it's fun playing with those guys.
All right. Since we last chatted, we knew about the severity of Jason Verrett's injury after the game. We knew it, you know, during the postgame show. Raheem's injury to start, we knew it was something, but it got worse as the week went on. So just give me your thoughts on losing the Mosterati for what looks like now, T-Rock, the entirety of the season.
Yeah, I was talking to him in the weight room a couple of days ago, and the most I said, dude, you're really bumming me out because I can't use all my car analogies now anymore with the Mosterati, pumping the gas, hitting the supercharger, all that stupid stuff I like to say. And I said, now it's got to be the Mosterati's in the garage getting service, got a flat tire. They're going to miss a lot from him. And he was a captain. He's not just a very good player, but very well respected player and a leader on the team, and does it by example every day of practice. His speed on the perimeter is unmatched, and it really is. I mean, we've talked about it before. He's a guy that just gets faster when he puts the pads on. So he's a big loss. You know, I don't know if the injury got worse as the week went on, or he was just getting more information on his injury and, you know, the procedure that he probably is going to have to undergo for it. And so I'm not exactly sure about that, but it's kicking him out for the year. But he's hanging around, and I told him now he's going to, you know, he lives over at Almaden now. I said, you're going to have to start playing golf now. I'm going to be able to serve for a while. You know, get you swinging the club, but they're going to miss him. So it's easy to see that Trey Sermon, the third round pick, is going to be elevated up, and I would assume is going to get some reps in the game and you know, getting out there with Elijah and seeing what those guys can do and Hasty as well. So, man, all hands on deck, because that's a big loss, especially when you know what the 49ers' bread and butter is the perimeter outside zone run game, and nobody hits the edge like the Mosterati, in my opinion. So he'll be a big loss.
Tim Ryan's joining us for a weekly conversation. He's in the Greenbrier in West Virginia. Of course, the 49ers stay east, and they take on the Eagles on Sunday. I'm concerned about that, but you know, whether it's Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, they've been able to make do with running backs maybe you never heard of before. But the defensive backfield with the loss of Verrett, heard this morning that Mosley is doubtful. What's your concern level with the corners?
They're going to be heavily tested this week. You know, Demo Lenore played pretty darn good in that game against the Lions. And Pop, you and I were talking about it, like, going into the fourth quarter, like, well, man, we haven't mentioned his name all game. He got beat on one go ball that Goff overthrew late, got a garbage DPI call on him at the end of that game that propelled them into position and got him a first down. But, you know, it's a lot of quick game there. Jalen Hurts, it's so much off the zone read, so much off the play action, and then him extending plays. So I think a big word this week for those guys is going to be plaster. You know, when he gets out of the pocket and he's extending plays, especially to his right when you watch the tape, He likes to get out to the right, whether he's spilling over the top. If an end gets trapped inside, you know, the left end gets trapped down inside, he'll spin out and go to the outside and get out in space and extend it. If he gets too far upfield and the tackle's not there and in a rush lane, he'll escape out the side door. And it's all about trying to plaster those guys and look for work. So he looked really good against Atlanta. The three touchdown passes, he ended up with, I don't know, 9 yards a carry or something on 7 runs. So they are really clever in how, and there's not a lot to it in terms of how they line up with their personnel groupings. I mean, they don't have a fullback, so it's a lot of three wides and a lot of two tight ends. And Dallas Goedert is a hell of a tight end behind Zach Ertz, and we'll see what's happening with Ertz with his hamstring. But Goddard will play a lot and plays well.
They just said he's in, by the way. Ertz is in. They just announced.
Yeah, we'll see how much he can go throughout that game. But they'll up tempo you. They will. You know, it looks like a college offense. So, in my opinion, when you look at the corners, you know, we're going to find out about Josh Norman and what kind of shape he's in. And I've talked to him. He said he's in good shape. You know, and was not in a training camp this summer, but certainly kept his cardio up and his gas tank full. And we're going to find out, because they get a first down, they get a big play, they are right back to the line of scrimmage, snapping it in about 3 or 4 seconds. And here comes all that action again right at you. So throw a lot of screens, a lot of bubble screens. They get them out there to the – they got a lot of heat at wide receiver with Rieger. I think he's in year two. He's a 4-3 guy, 4-4 guy. Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner, had a touchdown in the game the other day. He's just a really good route runner and really smooth and hard to contain once they get into those extension plays. And then they got, you know, really good backs. Miles Sanders, I think, is a special back in this system for what they do. And then they got this kid, Kenny Gainwell, who got in the end zone. He had 11 touches in the game. He's a rookie 5th-round pick out of Memphis. So they're able to distribute the ball. They get it to their playmakers quick. So I think one thing in the 49ers' favor is that all these guys have ball security issues going back. Don't know a lot about Gainwell, but Miles Sanders and Jalen Hurts and these guys, they will cough it up because of their style of running and their reckless style of running. So gang tackle on these guys will be huge. I thought for the most part, other than that long screen where Jimmy kind of whipped, and I don't think Jimmy was right at the end of that game in terms of dehydration and other things that were happening. And they did a good job for the most part of rallying up on all those throws, and thought Aziz was knocking people out. Fred was getting after it. So those guys are going to have to really gang tackle on these guys in terms of, you know, the quick game that they like to get into. And then they just lean on that offensive line. They are big. They're good, especially start looking at, you know, the right guard, Brandon Brooks, who came back off of injury. Their left tackle may be, you know, one of the biggest human beings I've ever seen. It's 6'8", about 350. Mailata, he's, you know, that's kind of funny. I was looking in the scouting report. I'm like, man, I don't remember this guy. Where'd he come from? It said under his college, unknown. I said, oh boy.
From parts unknown.
This guy's like a monster movie. We didn't even know where he came from.
Yeah,
but they can, you know, and Kelsey's still good. And, you know, they'll get him out pulling in front of stuff and run a little gut power stuff. But really the point guard that makes it all go is Jalen Hurts. And, you know, they talked about wanting him to get through his reads and all that stuff. You know, Atlanta didn't look like they were really well prepared for this game, so it didn't look good by them. I think the key and the ambition when you're playing a quarterback like Jalen Hurts is, you know, make him beat you from the pocket. Much easier said than done, but he's not the same guy when he's thrown out of the pocket trying to read through the defense.
All right, we'll continue with Tim Ryan. We'll take more of a look at the Eagles. There's one more defensive injury that we must discuss as well. He's the biggest John Denver fan around. He's Tim Ryan. We'll continue with him next. Only here in the Sports Theater. Hanging out with Tim Ryan for another segment. He's at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. Of course, the Niners have the Eagles. Remember to tune in early. KGO 810, our sister station, 7 a.m. We'll be there with Larry and Dennis Brown. And bad news on Dre Greenlaw, Tim. He tweaks the groin in camp. Kyle said this morning, retweaked it on that pick six, and he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, huh?
Yeah, that's unfortunate, big time. We didn't see him after that play. So the next question, he's, you know, such a good player. And look, all the linebackers from the Lion game, especially in the inside run game, it wasn't their best game. I mean, I thought they had a hell of a job at rallying up, and Goff was patient and dumping stuff underneath, and guys were lighting people up, and they were fierce tacklers. But the run stuff wasn't clean, and give early in the game, you know, the first half, and give the Lions some credit. They schemed them up pretty good, got the D tackles influenced a couple times upfield, trapped, or just run out of the play just by taking advantage of their penetration. So the next question up, especially in this game, when you think of what I was talking about earlier, all the zone read stuff they do with Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders, that outside linebacker is a huge part of it schematically. So I would assume, you know, it's just the next guy up on the roster and maybe a combination of the two between Flanagan Fowles and Marcel Harris. Now, one thing about those two guys, they can both run, and they can, you know, they both are former secondary guys. And if you look at both safeties in college, if you look at this offense, it's truly basketball on grass. A lot of spread. As I said, a lot of the zone read stuff, a lot of the quick game and trying to get guys to bite on concepts, a lot of bubble screens and all that stuff. And both of those cats can run. So this is a tough challenge, man. This is a tough matchup. I think you look at this game at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. We have not talked about Philadelphia's defense, and especially up front. This is going to be one of those smash mouth, you know, brawls at the line of scrimmage. The way they play, it's real simple what they do. Line up in a lot of the 3-4 stuff, and they'll do it even against two tight ends. They'll do it sometimes against your 3 wide receivers. They'll always do it, it seems like, against the pro set of two, you know, the fullback and the tight end and 2 wide receivers. And they count on those guys wrecking it up front. I have not seen, watching the Atlanta tape, and Fletcher Cox is a hell of a player and has been for 10 years in this league. Brandon Graham can still bring it and will be a big matchup for Mike McGlinchey lining up in that 4-I when they're in the 3-4 and lining up as a, you know, a legitimate end in a 9 technique when they get into their 4-man front, and they'll do a little bit of both. But that is a guy that's got to be blocked. But I haven't seen a nose tackle play as good as Javon Hay played against Atlanta in a long time. I mean, I don't know who the left guard is for Atlanta, but he got chewed up and spit out. And Javon Hay took care of him. So that's a matchup inside to keep your eyes on. I think if they can get the ball to the second level, and they got a lot of different linebackers shuttling in and out. And I don't know how they feel about those guys, but usually when I see a team doing that, they're having decided on really what their best combination of players is to, in terms of, you know, legitimate starters that have earned the right to be out there 40, 50, 60 plays. So if they can get to those linebackers, and a lot of that's going to be predicated on how well they block up front with some of those double teams and getting after those guys. You know, that score got left-handed against Atlanta in the second half of the game, but Atlanta was able to run the football on them and got some good chunk gains. So, you know, that we all know the blueprint of the 49ers. You got to run it. You got to protect your defense. You got to try to win the time of possession, which for a variety of reasons was a disaster against the Lions. So that stuff's got to get cleaned up, and I think they should be able to make some plays on these guys. And good playmakers on the back end, good playmakers at corner. So this is a game, probably a lot of it is going to be between the numbers because they play a lot of – it's real simple, Pop, what they do, a lot of zone coverage. And they count on that 4-man front getting after it, or the 5-man front when they're in the 3-4 stuff. And then they just want to sit back behind it and not give up a lot of big plays and rally up and tackle. So ball possession and third down will be a big number in this game.
Yeah, it reminds you, it's very different than Jim Schwartz's defense that we saw last year that gave the 49ers really problems in the offensive line. Jonathan Gannon is their new defensive coordinator, and their corners are off. You know, they got Darius Slay, big play Slay, Steven Nelson, the former Chief, who got, you know, Jimmy's ACL in a bad way in Arrowhead a few years ago. The linebackers are stacked. They're 5 yards off the ball. They're playing downhill the way, you know, the 49er backers did with Lord Fangio. But I see them at times. It's a different front than we saw last year. You mentioned they get in the wide 9 in the passing situation, but their fronts, their splits are tighter. They got a Sam linebacker, Avery 58's on the ball, Tim. And then did I see them jump into a 34 defense at time against the Falcons on Sunday?
Well, they're in the 34 all the time. The Falcons run out, you know, two running backs and with a fullback out there and one tight end, and they're gonna show you that 3-4 look with the 5-man front. and Barnett on one side and Jannard Avery on the other. They'll play the rookie Patrick Johnson some. They'll pay Josh Sweat some. They got a good rotation with those guys going. So, and really, they just lock Brandon Graham in that 4-eye inside shade on the tackle, and that'll be on McGlinchey. He does not roll sides, and Fletcher Cox will be on the other side, inside eye on Trent Williams. So, and they love to stunt the front. So you got to cut off penetration of those guys, and Graham knows what he's doing. I mean, you can see sometimes when he's got a good key on where he thinks the ball's going, he'll just stunt right off the snap into the hole, whether it's back across the face of the tackle or up inside to see if he can get in the backfield and make a play. So, yeah, a lot of that. And then when they get into their four-man front, it's, you know, just traditional on the inside, Fletcher and Hargrave on the inside, and they'll bring Ridgeway in and other guys. You know, they're playing Ryan Kerrigan in a 4-eye, and yeah, that guy was a great player for the football team for a long time as a wide edge rusher. You don't see as much of that out of him in this defense. They got him in there trying to chew on some of those double teams, which is not his forte. But, yeah, the 3-4 base, and then they'll get into the four-man front, and again, they'll bring Maddox in and play him in nickel, and he's in there a lot, obviously, and a pretty good player. So I don't know, you know, I don't know how complicated you get against these guys. I think it's one of those where here we are, we're lined up, see if you can block us, and it'll be a great test for the offensive line.
How about on the other side? It's interesting because obviously it's documented, and we talked to Matt Maiocco earlier, Tim. They worked a lot, obviously, on a mobile quarterback, and you have Trey Lance there to help him work on that mobile quarterback. In the past, Kyle said it's been Richie James, so it's nice to have a guy who can threaten with the run and the throw, but they've struggled with it. And then he got rid of the ball quickly. I think it was 3.7 yards in the air per ball, so it was a lot of quick stuff, so it's hard for the defensive line to get there. So as a defensive lineman, what is the difference when you go from a Jared Goff to now a guy like Jalen Hurts, where they've struggled against mobile guys?
Yeah, well, you know, in the run stuff, it's all the read zone, so it's assignment football, and you can change stuff up. You know, you can do gap exchange where you're an end and you're crashing down inside, and the linebacker is going to come over the top. So you got the running back; he'll have the quarterback no matter what. You could see some of that. You know, it's just, I think whatever schematically you want to do, you just be focused and you stick to your assignment and then trust that the guy you're working with is going to take care of his assignment. So, you know, the worst thing is to be indecisive and have two guys on the back, and now Jalen Hurts is taking off around the corner, and he is a strong runner now. He's not, I mean, he is a strong, reckless runner the way he gets after it. And then on the pass stuff, you got to be mindful of your rush lanes, especially as a contained guy. And especially in the quick game, get your eyes on the target, get your hands up, get some, you know, if you're not going to get there, get your hands up and make him throw through the fence. See if you can get a couple of balls batted down, because that's what they do. They want to get it to the playmaker's hands and then let those guys with that speed out on the perimeter, let them break some tackles. And that's how they're going to count on getting their big plays. So I think a lot like Russell Wilson, you know, this guy will escape faster than Russell. Russell lets a lot of things develop, and then he finds the escape lane when he's going through his reads. Jalen Hurts, it looks like, okay, one read, maybe not there, and then he's looking to escape. And when he gets out to his right, in particular, talked about it earlier, it's all about plastering and trying to out-leverage him. I noticed from watching the tape, though, when he goes to his right, he's throwing most of the time. When he escapes out to his left, he's running. So be ready for, you know, if he goes out that way and you're a linebacker or safety and, you know, you're a flush rusher, which means, you know, if he escapes and breaks contain and is flushed out, you're the guy that's got to get on your horse and go get him. So I think it's a, you know, when you think of this defense, at least for me, and think of the speed on this defense, especially on the back seven, and they got a lot of it. This is one of those games where run and hit is going to have to show up. And, man, I don't know if anybody covered more ground in that game against the Lions than Azeez Al-Shaair, who really made a lot of nice plays in the football game. So, and, you know, he's going to rock you when he gets there. So it's, you know, missed tackles, Johnny, will be a big one, you know, yards after the catch for these guys, because so much of that stuff is underneath. But if you're a defensive lineman, get your eyes on your target, because there's nothing worse I hate seeing as a guy trying to work a move and he's still looking at the lineman in front of him, trying to figure out what he's going to do, and the ball zings right by his ear hole.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, man, you're going to go hit him?
I am going to sneak out there and hit him. Yes, I am.
Very nice. Very nice. All right.
When are you coming, Pop?
Red eye tonight, so I'll be in Philadelphia before you guys get there. So
you gotta hit the red eye. You love those red eyes, don't you?
I do. I can sleep on them the whole way.
Yeah,
I cannot.
Don't you like those? I can just, you know.
No, I don't sleep on the red eyes. I actually get there and I got red eyes.
Yeah, he's up the whole way. A plane. You don't sleep on planes, do you?
I do not. Ugh. No.
Me neither. I can't do it.
I'll be out like a baby.
I got to be laying down to sleep, man.
Yeah. Same way.
Hopefully, I get a whole roll.
Plus, I usually got Big Alonzo sitting right behind me, who is already
don't put your seat
me
back.
Many times
don't
that reclining is off limits. So,
oh, that's a bummer, man.
Yeah,
you're a big dude.
I was raised that way, man. Respect your elders. I think he's like a year older than me.
He's a good man
too. He may be the one guy in that section of the plane that's bigger than you. So, we will see you when you get in. Give me a shout. We got
to
catch up.
I sure will. And good talking to you guys. And let's get to 2-0, man.
All right. Yeah, see you, bro.
2-0, bro.
All right. 2-0, bro. I like that. See you, Johnny.
See you, man.
See you.
All right. That is Tim Ryan.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.